Right, running a shelter for vulnerable children in South Africa is, to say the least, challenging at the best of times. But even more so when the country is in lockdown and donor funding is under pressure, being diverted all over the place to meet equally pressing needs. The lockdown has impacted heavily on a number of non-profit organizations. And today we want to highlight how it's impacted the day-to-day running of Ons Plek, which is Cape Town's only shelter and care organization focused specifically on female street children. They're in the same position as many others were, that a number of fundraising events had to be cancelled because of the lockdown. Big fundraisers that they would expect to help keep them afloat for the year ahead just disappeared overnight. And as a result, they found themselves with an 800,000 Rand shortfall in terms of operating costs. A plea went out for public support. A Back a Buddy campaign was started, and Cape Town answered the call. Joining me on the line and on the couch today is Pam Jackson, who is director at Ons Plek Project, to tell us a little bit about the organization itself and about their current state of affairs. Pam, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, hello, and hello to everyone, and thanks for this chance to talk about our struggles and our successes.
Let's start a little bit with the history and the successes, Pam. For those who are not familiar with Ons Plek, tell us how long ago you were founded and what the ethos of the organization is.
We started 33 years ago. There were about 100 girls living on the street at that stage, and there were 6 shelters for boys and nothing for girls, nothing in the whole of South Africa, in fact, because people didn't realize girls were living on the street. They tended to stay cleaner than the little boys who, you know, the six-year-olds who never learned to wash and keep themselves clean. And the girls tended to stay in the background. So we opened in 1989, and we started taking the girls off the streets, and we worked very hard to get them back into a family, either their own family or a relative's family. You know, if the family couldn't cope, if the family was too abusive or not good to go back to. And we've been very successful. We've managed to reduce, within about 7 years of existing, we managed to reduce the number of girls actually living on the street to about 7. That was from 100. Sure. But there were more kids coming every year, about 150 flowing onto the streets every year. So we then started preventative programs. So it's not that there isn't still a problem, exactly the same causes, especially now, you know, with unemployment having gone up, etc. But our preventative work catches the children, and we're better known, so before they actually hit the streets, we can do something. And that is why we have to stay open. If we close, there'll be a deluge of kids back, or girls back on the street again.
Let's expand a little bit on the preventative aspect there, Pam. As you've rightly pointed out, many of these girls are on the streets because the situation at home is just so terrible that they can't stay in it. How do you intervene to change that picture?
Partly, we intervene simply by being known. So other people pick up, this child is starting to bunk school, she's on the street in the wrong company, or she keeps asking if she can sleep at my home every night, you know, and we can't sustain this. So they bring her to us. And partly because we have 3 projects in Philippi, which was our biggest area of origin for the kids. And in those projects, we pick up the kids who are struggling at school, who are likely to drop out, and then we do counseling, family therapy, provide them with extra homework so that they can cope at school, so they don't feel so stupid at school, they find a meaning. And that has, from the day we opened, the flow, we used to get about 50 girls every single year from that area, dropped to 1 in the last 14 years, 1 girl in the last 14 years.
So it's hugely impactful and effective from what you're saying. Now, Pam, it also relies a lot on the community being your eyes and ears and referring children to you and saying, I've noticed this girl may be at risk. Has all of that been affected by lockdown? Because so many people are facing very real, very immediate, dire financial consequences, the loss of jobs, the loss of their ability to feed their families, etc. I would imagine that the focus on other people's children may have been diverted.
You know, I can't even answer the question because it's as if we just don't know. We're just not getting reports anymore. We didn't the whole of lockdown. We are aware because our own community workers are walking around Philippi what's going on and the increase there. And also the increase in kids under 6 when their parents had to go back to work, but creches weren't allowed to be open. Under 6 running around unsupervised, recipe for disaster. There were a couple of murders of girls.
Sure.
So, yeah, I would think that has been greatly affected.
Now, Pam, your finances were also directly affected. As I said at the start, it's not unique to Ornsplek. It's something that all non-profit organizations are struggling with, that donor funding is being diverted to very real needs in terms of hunger relief and immediate support for those who've lost their jobs under lockdown. But it's had a really dire impact on Ornsplek. Just sketch for us the position you found yourselves in when you first called out to the public for help.
But, you know, in the very first week of lockdown, we realized that we were in trouble, because we realized that it so happened. We like to be accountable and we like to be prepared. And we had our donors lined up for the year, so we were fairly sure we would be sustainable for the year. But we realized in that first week that sporting events, which we happen to be heavily dependent on sporting events this year, and organizations like street smarts, restaurants, dependents, you know, yeah. So that's when we realized that we were going to have trouble. And so we started reaching out to everybody we knew. Funders diverted funds to COVID only. It was like just a dearth. There was nothing. We could not work out what to do. The UIF TERS, I'm still battling. We battle with them every single day. We still haven't got that. So we just started reaching out to everybody we knew and asking for help.
Now, Cape Town responded. I mean, I know a Back a Buddy campaign has been set up for you to crowdfund for the immediate needs that you were facing. I know the shortfall is closer to R1 million, but the initial target for that Back a Buddy campaign was to raise R250,000 to help you in the short term. Yes. How far have you got, Pam?
We've just over the halfway mark. I think we're about 131,000 today.
Okay, and those donations coming in from people who've been donors in the past or from complete strangers? Tell us a little bit more.
Both. We're getting funds from people who we've never heard of, and then we're getting funds from people who've always supported us but didn't realize we were in such trouble. Yeah. The Cableway Challenge, just a Springfield girls who've always supported us. Just a lot of people coming in. And then we're getting people who haven't got very much themselves. There's a woman called Gillian who phoned me. She didn't know how to use the app. She doesn't know how to do EFT, but she's really feeling strongly she must do something. And she caught the bus and she brought us R200,000 in person.
Sure.
Just amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
That's incredible.
People really, really just giving.
Pam, I mean, and as you say, it's people who probably, you know, for whom that money does not represent small change that they won't miss. It's money they've diverted from their own luxuries and their own necessities at times. It's extraordinary. Now, the big picture, I mean, it's wonderful. So you've got R140,000 in so far to help you along. That's a small step to bridge a very big gap.
Yes.
I know, I mean, talk to us about the immediate and most pressing needs, Pam. If people can't make a financial donation, is there something else they can assist with?
You know, a number of people have come forward with food. Neighbors have come forward with food. Every little bit of food or stationery for schooling, or clothing, everything will help us put the money we would have spent on those essential items on the essential item of keeping staff employed. Because, as you know, without staff, you don't have anybody to actually supervise the children, feed the children, comfort them, counsel them, etc. You need both. We need the concrete and we need the actual cash to keep the place running. You said those who can't give cash. Yeah, that's what it would be. It's basically food and stationery.
Food and stationery, okay. And is there a drop-off point where if somebody's listening to this right now and says, I want to make a donation, how do they reach out to you and bring it to you, Pam?
If they've got access to a website, they should look at onsplek.org. Our phone numbers are on there and our addresses are on there. Otherwise, it's 7 Mallison Road in Mowbray. Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, you only moved into those premises fairly recently, Pam.
It was three years ago. Yes, we did an interview with you.
Yes.
And we were short of 200,000. And from that interview, we got the last 200,000 and we bought the property.
That's fantastic.
And it's been fantastic.
That's fantastic
to hear.
It's been
a very healing place for the girls.
Pam, I really hope that this interview will generate equal amount of support from Cape Talk listeners to get you over this next hurdle. It's more than just though keeping those girls fed and at school with stationery to work on. A lot of them have come from deeply, deeply traumatizing environments. And I know that the counseling and support you offer is so important. Pam, have you been able able to continue with the trauma counselling, etc.?
Yes, we've been able to do the trauma counselling. The childcare staff moved in and stayed 24 hours a day for a week each, so that, you know, they didn't have the danger of the catching the taxi and bringing the disease in. And the girls have been wonderful. They've really come to the party. They've been very worried about their families, of course, who were, you know, walking around. They kept phoning them and saying, please don't walk around, please isolate. But they put on weekly concerts. They've been doing their schooling work. And they've just been amazing. They've been amazingly comforting and strong for each other. And they're doing well.
What's the sort of age range of girls you've got living with you, Pam?
At the moment, we've got between 10 and 18.
Okay. And, I mean, so going forward, obviously the immediate crisis is to get over the next couple of weeks and months and find the funding to keep you going. At what point do you anticipate that more regular funding might start coming back again and that you might be able to start organizing fundraising events again?
Some of the funders have said they're going to start for next year. The events will be done next year. Okay. At this stage, I don't know if anybody actually knows.
Yeah.
So we're busy making plans. We're doing our normal fundraising, which is normally approaching trusts and foundations worldwide. And we're doing our, you know, we're in touch with BSD, with the department about subsidies. We have to wait and see whether they're cutting the subsidies, because I think a lot of departments are going to be cut. Sure. I think the future is very uncertain, but we're just going to do what we've always done. And in addition, we're upping our Instagram and our social media campaigns, and we're just broadening out to whoever and following every lead.
Well, Pam, we're going to share the link to the Back a Buddy campaign on our own Twitter feed, and I hope that Cape Talk listeners will respond if they're able to. Otherwise, if you feel that you can help with donations in kind, please reach out to Pam via onsplek.org. Anything else you'd like our audience to know that we haven't touched on, Pam?
No, I think, you know, what's driving us, it's just to give this thing that is driving us, is other children's homes are full. If we have to close, we can't put our children there. We can't return them home to abusive homes or homes that are not yet ready for them. And we can't put them on the street. So that is our driving force, is to keep open for those children for as long as we can.
Pam Jackson, director at Onsplek Project, and we hope that Cape Talk audience can once again make a difference to let that happen and continue happening. Again, it's onsplek.org if you would like to find their contact info or an address to drop off stationery or other donations. Otherwise, we'll tweet the link to the Back a Buddy campaign in the next break. If you are able to make any kind of financial contribution, it would be hugely, hugely appreciated.